Thank you so much for joining me today on Just Praise Him Radio. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and my job is to inspire you to a closer walk with Christ. Now here's the show. Hello, believers. Welcome to the Just Praise Him Radio Show. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and today we're going to be talking about sin. Any of you who follow him, the justpraisehim.today website, know that the Lord has been giving us words regarding this, and he gave a word just the other day about sin bringing a quicker harvest now, that the consequences are going to become apparent to us now because of it being the end times very quickly. In years past, if you did a sin, you know, nothing always happened like right away. And the Lord is warning us that that has changed. So I want to talk about that because I don't want us to get in any trouble. You know, one of the things that kind of makes Christians unafraid to commit sins is grace. The grace that God extends that the consequences of our sins don't fall quickly upon us. The wages of sin is death. I mean, if you committed a sin like, let's say you told a half-truth to your neighbor about something, and boom, a lightning bolt came out of heaven and killed you, I mean, that would be a lack of grace, okay? So right now, we've been in the age of grace for quite some time now, and we have not been experiencing that. The downside of this is we'll end up with no fear of Almighty God if it goes on long enough. Satan will be able to sell us the lie, oh, just this once won't hurt. Look, you did that last week and nothing happened. And other really blatant falsehoods that will sound right to us when we don't see a punishment for our sins right away, or will sound right to us when we don't want to believe there's going to be a punishment for our sins. Another reason that we need to talk about sin is because we cannot stand before our enemies if we're not doing right by God, okay? There's a story in Joshua chapter 7 about an accursed thing. And sin is obviously an accursed thing. In this case, it was an object, but to take the object is what cursed the man who took it. Because God said, okay, everything that you bring out of, they were going in to take Jericho. These are the children of Israel. They crossed the Jordan and they went up to Jericho, and the Lord said, okay, march around it 7 times. You know, y'all are going to go take it. And he said, you can't take anything out of it. Everything that comes out of it is mine. Y'all know why he did that? Because in the next place they went to an eye, he said, you can have all the stuff. Why did he do that? Because that was the first city they took. And the first of everything always belongs to God. Okay? And if you take what is first, what is his, then you've taken something and it's become a cursed thing to you. Okay? And that's what happened here in this story. I'm not going to read you the whole story, but I want to talk about some of the things that are accursed things automatically, because if you have them in your house, it can affect you being able to stand before your enemies. And the Lord told us in the word that he gave us yesterday that war is coming to America and that there's nothing we can do to stop it. It's already an ordained, it's an ordained judgment. What happens, because I know there are people that said, oh, let's pray this, you know, let's pray it away. Okay, that's a wonderful idea, except when God is judging a nation, when a nation turns its back on God that used to follow God, like America, like at one time Israel, and like America, at one time we followed God, and we served God, and, you know, one nation under God and all that. We're not that way anymore. Now we pass laws that are blatantly against what God says we can and cannot do and should not do. And if you go long enough in the wrong direction and refuse to repent when God's calling out to you, which is what America has done, then God says, okay, I'm sending the judgment and it can no longer be. He will strive with you for a while. And after a while, he would say, enough, that's it. It's like when your mother told you, don't slam the door when you go out the door. And you kept going out the door and letting the screen door slam. Okay. A few times she's going to get onto you and say, okay, stop doing that, stop doing that, stop doing that. Well, about the 4th or the 5th time, she's probably going to run out of patience. And The next time you slam the screen door, she's going to follow you out the door with, you know, a paddle in her hand. So it's like that. You have to remember, he's a loving father. He's long-suffering. But his spirit will not always strive with man. And in the same way it will not always strive with man, it will not always strive with the nations. And the time of the judgment of the nations is upon us. He has told us this, and that judgment begins in his house, which means we're first. We're his people. So we get, you know, the judgment starts with us because we're supposed to be the light in the world. Okay? All right. So if you have accursed things in your house, you won't be able to stand before your enemies. So we're going to talk about accursed things. Anything that is in your house that has an image on it of a demon or of a scary skull or anything like that is an accursed thing. Okay? I once went to a man's house. He was a worship leader in a church I went to. And he knew that there were demonic presences in his house, but he didn't know why. He said, I play praise music in here all the time and stuff like that. And I said, well, let's walk around and pray and see. When we got to the upstairs, the Lord spoke to me and he said, the Lord basically said, there's an album cover in there. There's a CD cover in there with a demonic image on it. And that's the doorway that the demons are coming through. And there was nothing in the room. There was no furniture in the room. There was just some trash on the floor. His son had stayed there and had moved out. And so I told him what the Lord said. And he said, well, let me go. And I wouldn't go in the room. And he went into the room, started moving stuff around, and he picked it up, and there it was. And it was a demonic image on a CD cover, just like God said it was, of course. And as soon as he got rid of that, we were able to cleanse the house and get the demons out. If you have a demonic image in your house, do not expect the demons to leave because they don't have to. If they leave, they're coming back 2 seconds later because they have a wide open door. That's like kicking burglars out of your house and then leaving your door standing wide open after you kick them out. It's the same difference. They're coming back in. Why? Because they can. Because they can destroy and steal from you because you gave them an open door. Okay? Anything in your house that has a representation of Satan on it, a devil on it. Anything that you have that has demons or dragons, because the devil's called a dragon in the Bible. He is also called a serpent, or that old serpent. So I would not have anything in your house that has a serpent on it or a snake on it. Okay? I once was best friends with a lady who moved to America from the Philippines. She had a large statue of Buddha in her house and a number of pictures of Buddha. You cannot have Buddhas in your house unless you also want demons. She said, oh, it's just art. I said, it is not art to God. It is other gods. It's an idol to God. She refused to get rid of it. But anyway, Buddhas are idols. They are other gods in the eyes of the Lord. It doesn't matter what we see them as. It matters what he sees them as. If you don't want demons, get the Buddhas out of your house. Get anything that has Buddha on it out of your house. I don't care if it's a t-shirt, what it is. You better get it out of there. Anything occult, anything about mind power, gazing, crystal gazing, witchcraft, any of that stuff, that's occult stuff that tells you how to do that stuff. That's occult. It's accursed. Anything New Age or astrology related, including anything that has a horoscope or a horoscope sign on it, those are accursed items. Statues of Mary. Sorry, y'all, I know a lot of you are Catholic, but I have to tell you the truth. Mary was fully human. When I was in Louisiana in 1997, Louisiana is largely Catholic. I am not Catholic. I am Protestant. And I told the Lord one day, I was in worship all the time then. I just was in such a close walk with God, even though I didn't really know anything. And I spoke to the Lord one day and I said, Lord, I would just go and ask him questions because the word wasn't open to me yet. I didn't know how to find answers in there yet. And I said, Lord, I can feel there is some kind of error in Catholicism, but I don't know what it is. And some Catholic people had been trying to convert me since I'd been down there, and they were the sweetest people in the world. And y'all, the Lord spoke to me immediately and as clear as if he were standing right there. And he said, Mary was not without sin. And I said, do they think she was? And he didn't answer me, but I asked somebody that was Catholic. He said, oh, yeah, they believe that Mary didn't have any sin. And the Lord said Mary was not without sin. So I'm sorry to break that to any of you who thought she was. Okay, crystals that you have for good luck or anything like that, that's New Age. Get those out of your house. Anything that you have for divining the future, crystals, crystal balls, any of that, those are accursed items. Get them, get rid of them, get them out of your possession. Do not go put them in a storage stall. Get rid of them. Put them in a dumpster, burn them in a fire, do something, but get them out of there. Anything that has a horoscope or a zodiac sign on it, especially a zodiac sign, you better get it out your house and get rid of it. Anything New Age meditation related, including books about it, those are accursed items. Now, for a more detailed list of accursed items and things that will draw demons to you, I did a series on spiritual warfare back in, when did I do that, y'all? 2012 and 13, I believe. And I think it's the show called Signs of Demonic Affliction. Or no, it's How Demons Gain Access to Christians. It's called How Demons Gain Access to Christians. It's 45 minutes or an hour long, and I talk about all of this stuff in more detail. You can find that in the archives on Spreaker or Blog Talk Radio. I don't know which. Okay. Sin will make you a slave. Every time you give in to a temptation and you do that sin again, it gains more power over you. The word of God in John 8:34 says, Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." Sin will make you a slave. You do drugs or you get involved in some kind of sexual sin and you keep doing it, and it is going to make you a slave. Satan is going to own you because you keep turning your back on God and doing that sin. Okay? That's a word for somebody. And anytime the Lord leads you or speaks to you to give up a sin, that is when the anointing is the strongest on you to make it easier to give that sin up. What the anointing is, it is a supernatural ease to do something, okay? Y'all, I used to be absolutely terrified of speaking in front of a group of people. I mean, when I was doing seismic permitting before I got saved, one time I had to stand up in front of the boss, the crew boss, and the guy who ran the recording truck. Two people or three people. I think there might have been the head of the survey might have been there too. Three people that I knew well, talked to every day. And I stayed awake almost the entire night because I was so scared to do. And I knew what I was talking about. It was a permit status report. I knew the stuff backwards and forwards. And these were people I talked to every day, but I was that scared to stand up and talk in front of people. And now you can set me in front of a group, hundreds of people, and it will not even faze me. But the reason is because God has anointed me for this. I was not anointed for it then. I knew it was God's anointing when I could stand up and talk in front of people like that. I knew. I was like, yeah, he did it. Okay, if the Lord leads you to give up a sin, say cigarette smoking, if you do it right then, it's going to be a lot easier for you. If you wait 2 weeks, you are going to struggle to lay it down. Don't spend 2 weeks arguing with God about why you don't want to quit smoking. Just do it when he tells you, and you'll be really glad you did, because he'll just take it from you and you'll be delivered. Okay? Okay, now let's talk about enemies. We all have enemies, some kind that we deal with, whether it is some form of human enemy that comes against us and harasses us, or whether it is the enemy Satan sends against us, or the sins we struggle with. Those are all enemies. But know this, if you let your enemy stay in your land, and this is a word for somebody, the Lord says, if you let your enemy stay in your land, he will not remove them for you when they become a problem for you. And you will have to deal with them every day. Can I just say that? For example, let's say that you know somebody who's trying to tempt you to commit sexual sin. You like the flirtation, you're kind of having fun, it's making you feel young or attractive or whatever, so you don't make them go away. You're just like, oh, I can handle this, I won't do anything. You may even tell yourself that you have to witness to them or they won't get saved. This is a lie the devil often uses on women. Let me just dispel that right now. It is a lie from the pit of hell. And Satan has made many a woman fall into sexual sin with that very lie. The Lord can and will send another person after you and another and another and another until Jesus comes back in an attempt to save that person because he loves them more than you ever will. Okay? I knew a woman once, very, very godly woman. I'm talking eat, sleep, and breathe Jesus. This man came into her life and he was kind of a new Christian. He needed to learn some stuff. And one time she went to him to do a Bible study. They ended up in bed, y'all. God bless her. She's back on her feet now, but God bless her. And it's just, she had been lonely for a long time. I don't think she had had a husband in, I don't even know how many years, but well over, I would say over 2 decades, just from what I know. Y'all don't fall into those traps. Watch out, because Satan is looking to trip you up. He hates you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to hurt your family. He wants to take your reputation. He is trying to trip you. It's his job to set snares for us. We need to be watching for the snares. Now, let's look at what the Bible says about letting your enemies stay in your land. Those of you who know the word well, you're going to know the story I'm fixing to go to. The Israelites had crossed over the Jordan into the Promised Land. They fought for over 45 years to take those lands, y'all. They were tired of war, I'm sure. I'm sure they just wanted to get their land and, you know, plant their gardens and get some rest by then. Because they had spent all that time in the desert and then they had to fight. The men of war had to fight for over 45 years. I found a place in the scripture where it says they fought 45 years and that was before the final battles that Joshua and them fought. So I'm sure a lot of them were getting old and probably just wanted to sit around rocking their grandbabies and stuff. When you get old, for those of you who don't know this yet, I'm 57. For those of you who don't know, you really just want to sit down in the rocking chair and not have to do anything because you're tired. You're tired. So, but God told them to drive their enemies out completely or those enemies because they served other gods would become a snare to them and their gods would become a snare to them. So that's what somebody flirting with you and tempting you to sin is. It's a snare to you. Remember, we're talking about these new words the Lord gave us about a quick harvest on our sin. If you do that sin, you're not going to reap it a year from now. You're going to reap it like next week. Okay? Your wife is going to find out whatever. Okay? You don't want that, do you? Okay. My very good friend Rick, who comments often on the words, posted his testimony about this under the word called The Battle Has Shifted on April 17, 2017 at justpraisehim.today. Go read that. If you are being attacked or wronged by somebody, go read Rick's testimony. It will blow your mind. You will understand all over again why the Lord tells us to pray for our enemies. I've been going through something, being harassed by somebody that's trying to cause me financial loss ever since I moved to Arkansas. And when I read Rick's testimony, the fear of God hit me hard, y'all. And I already feared God. I fear God on a daily basis. And it nearly knocked me to my face. It hit me so hard. My jaw dropped open. I could not believe what I was reading. But that reminded me, too, why I need to be careful myself and be sure that I'm nice to people. Because, y'all, any of us can have a bad day and just go off on somebody when we're feeling overwhelmed, right? And I'll tell you something else, too. I have learned from the Lord that often while we're enduring our enemy's onslaught, he is also increasing judgment on them for what they're doing to us. Y'all remember that case about, I think her name was Kim Davis, the clerk that got put in jail because she refused to sign marriage licenses for homosexual marriages. I was praying for her one day. I prayed and prayed for her when she was in jail. I felt so bad for her. And the Lord, I said, Lord, I don't understand this. He said, I am increasing judgment on them who put her there. And I was like, ooh, Lord, ooh, Jesus. Yeah. Sometimes when you're going through something hard, the Lord has looked down and he has seen that person that will not let up on you. And he has seen not only what they're doing to you, but what they've done to other people. And what they've done to people 10 years ago that they refused to repent for. And what they do to people every day. And how much hate and anger and bad feelings that and unforgiveness that they're spreading with what they're doing. And he is increasing judgment on them because he's fixing to get them for what they're doing and shut them down, y'all. So that's why we're supposed to pray for our enemies. And when you pray for your enemies, You have to realize that the first thing God does when you pray for somebody is he pours out repentance on them and saves them. So there you go. Okay. Biblical case in point on letting enemies stay in your land. I told you where to find that in Joshua. But let me tell you these scriptures that I came across this week that in my devotional that just jumped out on at me, and I'd never seen this before. Judges chapter 2, verses 21 and 22. I also will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died, that through them I may prove Israel, whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein as their fathers did keep it or not. There are so many places in the Bible where God says, I'm going to use this, I'm going to prove you, I'm going to let me use this to prove you whether you're going to keep my commandments or no. This is yet another one. Sometimes God leaves enemies in your life. And it's so strange that I found these scriptures the next day. I had just been praying the day before. I said, Lord, why are you letting these people do this to me? Why are you letting this go on? I serve you every single day. This is what I live for, to do your work. It's all I think about is your work. Why are you letting them stay? Why are you letting them do this? I don't understand why you're letting them take money from me and do this, Lord. Why? I just want to understand. And the next day, he shows me these scriptures. That through them, I prove you whether you're going to keep my commandments or not. He keeps the enemies there because only when we are really pressured do we see what's in our heart. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Let me just read you that. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2 is my life verse. And you shall remember all the way which the Lord your God led you these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and to prove you and to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or no. He's not going to prove you so he can see what's in your heart. He's going to show you what's in your heart. The whole purpose of a wilderness season is to show you what's in your heart and to show us, like he showed Peter, who said, I would never deny you. I would die for you. I would go to prison for you. Peter, you're fixing to find out. Satan has asked to sift you, to prove you. Satan had said, let me sift him. He's going to deny you. And sure enough, he did deny him. And don't we all deny him when we sin? We all deny him. So we can't judge Peter, can we? Because any time we sin, we deny Christ. Can I just say that? Okay, so the purpose of a wilderness is to prove you and show you what's in your heart. So if the enemies have been left in our land to prove us, we better pass that test, hadn't we? Or we're fixing to be cast into the wilderness again, and we don't want that, do we? Okay, let's talk about some of what this means. The Lord, our God, is always dealing with us and was always dealing with the Israelites about their sin when they ventured off the path of righteousness, when they stopped following his commands and were going their own way, like when they were complaining. Now, there's a lot of teaching going around that we don't need to worry about sin anymore and all that kind of stuff. We can just do whatever we want. I think there's sufficient evidence in the New Testament. We do need to be aware of it and turn away from it. And I think this kind of talk must have also been circulating in the time of the apostles because we can see it in Galatians chapter 5. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. God just gave us a word about serving the other day, didn't he? For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, and that's like attacking somebody verbally or talking about them behind their back, you know, trying to assassinate their character, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. He's saying if you bite on one another, you're going to eat each other up. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For you new Christians, walking in the Spirit means following God's Spirit in how you do things. And it means always putting what God thinks about something first before you put how you feel about it. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Okay, that word law in verse 18 is the same as it is in verse 14, which says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word. And it's referring to, according to the Strong's, it's referring to the law of Moses. Now, Moses was given, what was it, 613 commands that were the law of what they were supposed to do all the time. How many times they were supposed to wash their hands before they did this or did that, all this sort of thing. Because back then they needed all that, y'all, because they didn't have proper hygiene. They didn't have purified water. They didn't know what animals would kill you if you ate them, you know, that sort of thing. So they needed all those laws. For you new Christians, let me explain briefly what a Strong's Concordance is. A Strong's exhaustive concordance is like a dictionary of all the words in whatever version of the Bible you read. In my case, it's the King James. And exhaustive means it takes all the words. And it shows you a list of every scripture that that word appears in. Let's take the word, let's say the word liberty. Okay, and it would list every scripture that the word liberty was in. And then after that reference, it would show you a four-digit number that would start with either an H or a G. H means Hebrew, that was for the Old Testament. G means Greek for the New Testament. And in the back of the Strong's, you can get that number, and then you can go to the back of the Strong's and you can look up that number in the Hebrew or the Greek, and it will give you the definition of the original Hebrew or Greek word that was later translated into English when the Bible was translated from the original manuscripts they were written in. All the different books. The reason this is important and the reason this helps you study the Bible is if you take, let's say, English and Spanish or English and any other language and you put them side by side, there's not always, let's say, there's not always a Hebrew word for, or there's not always an English word for a word in Hebrew. Like, we have the word coincidence in English. There's no Hebrew word that means coincidence. Because obviously with God there aren't any coincidences. But for an example, so they would have to use a different, let's say that, you know, that it was the other way around. Let's say there was a Hebrew word for it, and they went and looked in English, and there wasn't a word that meant the same thing. Well, they would have to use something that was close, or what they thought it meant. So you look up the original meaning, you can get some big, deep revelations on what that scripture actually means that it may not appear to mean. And God really likes it when we study His Word at that level, okay? There are a few items that you can get that will help you understand God's Word more deeply. And one is a study Bible. A good study Bible is priceless because you can write in it, make all kind of notes. The next is a Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. If I can only have two things to study the Bible, I want a study Bible and a Strong's. The next is Vine's Expository Dictionary. That's helpful. I don't use that as much. I use BibleGateway.com on the internet a lot. I use Bible Gateway because it will look up really quickly for me every scripture in the Bible that has a certain word in it. So if I'm trying to recall a chapter and verse, I can find it faster by opening up BibleGateway.com. Okay, verse 14 that I was reading from in Galatians says that all the law is fulfilled if we love our neighbor as much as we love ourselves. Not many of us do that. Can I just say that? I'm quite sure I fall far short of fulfilling that kind of love. And that word love here is agape love, or great love, unconditional love like God has for us. That's what agape love is. God loves us unconditionally. We don't do everything right, but He still loves us the same anyway. How many of us can say we love others like He loves us? I don't think any of us can, truly. Not until the truth. That word neighbor in the Strong's is translated as meaning those close by, fellows, countrymen, friends, Christians. I think just learning to love those in your own neighborhood with the true unconditional love of Christ would be a great challenge for any of us. What do y'all think? But here's the other thing. The reference that I like to remember, too, is Luke 18. Chapter 18, and a certain ruler asked him, meaning Jesus, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why do you call me good? Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. thou knowest the commandments. Jesus himself is citing the commandments here, y'all. So obviously, the Ten Commandments were not done away with. That's my point. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. The rich man said, I've kept all these since I was a kid. Now, when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. But my point on that was Jesus quoted the Ten Commandments. Therefore, they were not done away with in the Old Testament, as so many claim they were, because Jesus himself said, follow the commandments. Okay. So, and those were given to Moses in the law, by the way. So I know that there are a lot of people that go, you don't need to follow the commandments. That was done away with the law. Well, that part wasn't. Jesus is quoting it. And Jesus knew that he was going to die for the sins of the world, and he still quoted it. So, and for you new Christians, the commandments, the original Ten Commandments, are found in Exodus chapter 20. I remember calling my mother on the phone one day and saying, Mom, where are the Ten Commandments in the Bible? They're in Exodus chapter 20. Thank God my mother knew scripture. Interestingly enough, in verse 20 of Exodus chapter 20, after it gives the commandments, it says, and Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. The number 10 is the number of testing. There were 10 plagues in Egypt. Joseph was tested 10 times. There are 10 commandments. Tithing is a 10th. Anything with the number 10 has come to prove you. It is a test. Keep that in mind, because I have no doubt we will face plenty of tests in what is about to transpire in America and in other nations. Somebody told me once, when I just come out of a wilderness in the Dallas area, and this was in about 2000 or 2002, something like that. I told him about it was somebody that sat by me at work, and I told him about what God had taken me through. And this guy was a Christian. And he turned around, he looked at me and he said, I just don't think that's scriptural. I was like, whatever you think. But let me just tell you that it is. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. The only possible reason the Lord would lead Jesus to the wilderness to be tempted is to prove him. So y'all get my point. All right, now, so sin, we're looking at the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are in front of us. If we transgress those, we fail to test. Expect the consequence to come quickly. Okay, last night I asked the Lord if he had any words for y'all for today that he wanted me to deliver, and he gave me a list of names. And today he gave me these words, and he gave me some more names. Okay, so here are the prophetic words for you guys. Chris, you have waited a very long time for justice on those who have wronged you. The Lord says justice is arriving now, and you will see it. Keep standing faithful. He is rewarding your faithfulness. Jason, something was taken from you recently, and you aren't positive who took it, but you think that you know. The Lord says the truth will surprise you more than you are expecting, and you are about to find out for sure. Kathy, you have long desired a particular positive change in your life. I think it is weight loss. The Lord says to tell you there is a powerful anointing on you right now to make this change. And if you start today, you will be amazed by how fast this happens. He said, be sure that you give him all the glory, not your own diet plan, not your efforts, or you will be back right where you started just as fast. Mike, I don't know why, but I see you in a place that looks like the Grand Canyon, all that red rock. I don't know if you're a mechanic, but I see you under the hood of a car. You are feeling a little lost right now. I think you may have just lost somebody that you loved through death. The Lord says to tell you, He is with you through this, and though it hurts really bad right now, He will comfort you throughout the grief process. The Word says, you know, He comforts those who mourn. And that it will make more sense soon why it happened. It is actually going to save that person from many horrors they would have gone through. He loves you, Mike, very much, and He wants you to know you do not walk alone, even though losing someone through death makes you feel alone. He loves you, and He won't leave you during this. It could be that someone is dying and not passed yet. Lou, you are about to make a very important decision, and it is one that will be locked in once you make it. In other words, it is not one you can go back on. The Lord is saying, be sure you lay all the facts out on the table before you make this, and make sure they are facts, not imaginations, not hearsay, but actual facts, so you will not choose wrongly. Randy, I see you're kind of feeling alone right now. The Lord is walking right there beside you, Randy. I can see Him. I see He's trying to talk to you, but you're not hearing Him. He says, turn your face to Him for help. Right now, you're looking to something else to help you, I think alcohol. He says, if you will turn away from that and turn to Him, that He will tell you how you got to where you are and how to make it better, and you will be happy. You're not happy now, but He says to tell you that it can be, and that it is Satan who is telling you that you can never be happy. Tom, the wind is blowing in your life now, Tom. The Lord says He is blowing some things away from you that He does not want there to distract you from Him. He wants to be your first love, He says, and you are more involved in another love than you are with Him. Be calm and at peace as the wind blows. It's going to be a good thing when it does die down. Jay, you have been lied to. Someone has told you that you are not something that you are, and the Lord wants you to listen to Him, the Lord, not that other voice, because the other voice is a liar. He is saying, let me build you up, my son, let me build you up, not that other voice that does not have your best interest at heart. Listen to Him for who you are, Jay. Rick, the Lord takes great pleasure in your walk, Rick. He says to tell you He is sending some people to you in the next few weeks, and He wants you to help them straighten their walk out. He says He knows you will do it in love and gently enough so as not to kill their spirits and drive them away from Him. That is why He chose you for this assignment. You will know what to do when you meet them. Deirdre, I see some kind of transition going on in your life. Like you're moving or changing jobs, or you're having to stay at somebody else's house. Something like that is going on. This transition has you longing for stability and the comfort and contentment of home. You feel very unsettled. The Lord says to tell you that this is only a very temporary thing, and that He has not forgotten all the promises He made to you, daughter, and to stand faithful in this time and do not chase after gods of silver and gold. And He is going to deliver you out of it with great reward, like when He brought the children of Israel out of the desert and into the promised land. Stand strong and faithful, Deirdre, and know that God has not forgotten your struggles. Maggie, you feel forgotten and alone. You feel very small. I think you may be an intercessor that spends many hours a day alone in prayer for God's people. Be encouraged, Maggie. Intercessors are so close to God's heart. I see an angel that has been assigned to you that is there with you, and it holds a large quill. The angel is recording in fine detail every single prayer you pray into a very large book that will be on record in heaven. Of all your work, Maggie, all your prayers are being reported to the Lord each day. He is Jehovah El Roy, Maggie. He is the God who sees you, and He is smiling as He looks down at all your labors in prayer for the saints. Your work is not unnoticed. Satan tried to steal this word as I was typing it out, but God prevented him, so you would be encouraged. I think you are somebody I would love to know, Maggie. Keep up the good work. and thank you for your service to the body of Christ. Jonathan or John, I see you wearing business attire, so you may be a businessman or you may be about to become one. I hear the word sales. I don't know if you're in sales or you're looking for work. You may have a natural ability to sell, so you might check that out if you're unemployed. Oh, the Lord is saying He has anointed you for a particular job at this time. There are some people He wants you to meet. Okay, that's what sales is about. He has anointed you for sales in this time, and you will be good at it while the anointing is present because there are some people the Lord wants you to meet. Look at jobs in sales. Marley, you feel like the Lord is not answering you on what you've been praying and you're not sure what to do. The Lord says, I have you where I want you right now. Stop fighting me on this. Marley, He has a purpose for you right where you are, so just relax and wait on Him to show you what it is. If you fight Him, it will not get better and it could get worse. Get into His Word and just relax. Let the Word get into your soul and let Him lead you through this, okay? Maureen, you have been wondering about something inside yourself for a while. It's a question you ask yourself, but don't voice to anyone else. The Lord says the answer is yes, a resounding yes. Dan or Danny, you work in an automobile-related business. You are kind of a loner type person because you enjoy your own company. You have also learned from experience that many people cannot be trusted. The Lord is bringing a male friend into your life that is going to become a true and trusted long-term friend to you. And He is telling you because He does not want you to miss it when He brings him. He says, be open to this friendship. It will bless you very abundantly. Kathy or Kate, I see you spending much time looking or trying to look into the future. The Lord says you are missing all the blessings He is sending to you every day while you're doing this, and He wants you to limit the amount of time you spend doing that, looking into the future. I think you may be very interested in the prophetic, and He is talking about that. Don't miss out on the joys of today, Kate. He's trying to bless you. Okay, that's all the words that I have for this podcast. If you didn't get a word and you want a word, talk to the Lord about it because that's where I'm going to get the list of names from now on. Instead of me taking a list of names to Him and saying, Lord, I need a word for all these people, we're going to get the list of names from God and let Him bring the words He wants to bring because He is God and He doesn't need our help to be God, okay? Now, we need to remember to give the Lord all the glory for these words. I don't want any of the glory for them, although I'm always thrilled when one of you shares that the words were right on because that assures me I'm hearing Him clearly. I would love it if you would share that on Just Praise Him Today Facebook page when that happens so other people will be encouraged, and then send me a quick email saying you shared it and I'll go read your post. That way everybody benefits, and when we glorify the Lord as we should for His great mercy in giving us these words, then He will bless us with more words. Okay? I hope that y'all have a really fantastic end of your week. Thanks for listening. Jesus bless you. Thank you so much for tuning in today to Just Praise Him Radio. You can contact me by mail at my new address, JPH Inc., Glenda Lomax, P.O. Box 60, Glencoe, Arkansas 72539, or by email at jphtoday@gmail.com. JPH is not affiliated with any nonprofit organization, church, or denomination. Have you ever gone through a time in your life where suddenly it just felt like your whole life was falling apart? I call these experiences the wilderness experiences. Wilderness experiences are a time of great uncertainty and change. There are times when our faith is tried and refined. After many experiences, the Lord spoke to me to write The Wilderness Companion, which is a virtual roadmap through the desert times of your life. Find out why you've been led to the wilderness. Find out what the biggest hindrance is to receiving provision in the wilderness. Find out what the seven temptations of the wilderness are. Drastically cut the time you spend in the wilderness by learning how to partner with the Lord instead of working against Him. Every Christian needs to read The Wilderness Companion. It's by Glenda Lomax, and it's available on Amazon.com or wingsofprophecy.com. Amazon.com, The Wilderness Companion by Glenda Lomax. Are there areas of your life you just can't seem to overcome in, no matter what you try? Are you plagued by depression, poverty, anger, lust, or failure? Do you recognize your predisposition to commit the same sins committed by your forefathers? Do you want a better life? Many people live their whole lives under generational and other types of curses without understanding they can be free. Learn what the scriptures say about curses and why they are still relevant today. Learn how to defeat every one of them through the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." You can break the curses off your life and start experiencing breakthroughs like never before. Read about different types of curses and how to break them, including anger, a curse that causes angry outbursts in constant anger. Barrenness, a curse that causes miscarriages and prevents pregnancies. Fear, a curse that brings a plague of fear and anxiety. Illegitimacy, a curse that causes lust, rebellion, and sexual dysfunction. Get the book, Loosed from Chains of Darkness, Destroying Curses Through the Power of the Cross. Available now on Amazon.com, in print and Kindle. Loosed from Chains of Darkness, and be free. What is in store for the once great and mighty nation of America in these end times? What is the living God saying to the people of America now? What could possibly be in store for a nation that once trusted in God, but has changed its path from following in the living God's ways to now removing Him from everything and walking the other way? In the book, No Longer Mine, you will find all the messages to America collected in one place in chronological order. No Longer Mine, Messages to an Unrepentant Nation, is now available in print at wingsofprophecy.com in the bookstore tab. Get your copy of No Longer Mine today.